Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Dimino. On this episode, we talk with saxophonist, music artist, NFT creator, and so much more. It's Shadow with two D's. This Dallas, Texas native got into music at a very young age, listening to the old recordings that his parents played of Ronnie Laws, Al Jarreau, Stevie Wonder, and so many others. They were great memories for him. That was where his love and desire for music performance was born. These days, he is establishing himself as an industry musician and artist that ranks among some of the best in the industry of entertainment, with a blend of modern and classic pop, jazz, soul, and funk. It's a great sound, a great story. Enjoy.
Hello, hello.
Good afternoon, Shadow Music. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Famous Joe Dimino
and Neon Jazz. What's going on?
Yes, sir. Oh, man. Just living in the sunshine out here in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, Kansas City.
Where are you located?
I'm south of y'all. I'm in Arlington, Texas, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, over by,
okay.
you know, Cowboy Stadium, Dallas, you know.
Yeah, I saw on your itinerary Deep Ellum, and I went out there in 03 and hung out for a little while and saw a show. So, yeah, I know the area. In fact, one time I landed in Dallas, and I gave an address, and they took me to Fort Worth, and I was like, wait, hold on a second. I'm in the wrong city, and they're like, oh, there's two addresses that are the same way. So, thankfully, I was on the dime of a company, and I could pay him, but he it was an incredible distance for a cab ride.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to get split up like that, depending on, Fort Worth and Dallas do that a lot. They have the same street names a lot of the time, Main Street, Jefferson Street, so certain names, they just reuse them. And if you're not from the area, you won't know the difference, and you'll be way off
I was way, way off, but I tipped this guy really good. And he had great stories. I think at the time, taxi cab confessions were out. So I was like, what's the craziest thing that ever happened in a cab? And that dude went on a blue streak. It was good storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
So
I can imagine.
So it all worked out. But, hey, man, you're a busy cat. And I'm curious, how did you do during COVID with all of the irons and the fires that you have going on? How did you do, and how did it change you?
Well, it definitely stopped the live, you know, doing live gigs for sure. And so I was forced, like a lot of other musicians, to figure out how to do this online thing. So I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do live streams, how to leverage my social media platforms, how to leverage, you know, getting paid through, posting posts on different social media platforms like Instagram and Twitter. But the one thing that really made the biggest difference during COVID was the cryptocurrency market and finding avenues to sell music for cryptocurrency. And there's a whole big new industry that opened up, and I tapped into that. And since I tapped into that, it was actually a blessing in disguise, because even though, you know, we're back to where you can go outside, you don't have to wear a mask, you can go gigging, I'm still seeing money come in just from putting my albums out and my singles out as music NFTs and on different cryptocurrency music platforms. And it works a whole lot better than the traditional streaming services. And so it was a blessing, because now I'm actually in a better position than I was before COVID. So that's that story.
Man, I hear that so much. I hear so many silver linings that happened over that time. It's amazing. You know, I know there was a lot of woe and things that happened over that time, but man, there's so many good stories that have come out. And I'm curious, with you as a musician, take me back to the beginnings of your life, where you were born and raised, and how music became your life.
Oh, that's a good story. So, yeah, born and raised in Dallas. And when I first got into music, But when I saw the power of music, I tell this story often, it was seeing my mother and father play old jazz records, like Al Jarreau, Ronnie Laws. I know for a fact my dad is a real big fan of Ronnie Laws, really great tenor and soprano sax player. And because he was a fan of Ronnie Laws, I became a fan of Ronnie Laws. And so as a young kid, I remember sitting in, you know, in my parents' bedroom where they had the record player, and they had Ronnie Laws' album playing, and it was still one of my favorite songs by Ronnie Laws in these days. It's called "Tidal Waves" off of the Pressure Sensitive album, the one with the cracked egg on the front, and it really has that 1970s era sound to it. I listened to that record, and back when I was a kid, you know, it was rough to see, you know, my parents fighting all the time. They ended up getting divorced, and during all that turmoil, the only time I really saw them get along was when they were playing these records. And so as a kid, I saw that, and I was like, wow, I want to bring joy to people's life like that. If this is what makes them happy, maybe I need to look into this. That was the first thought I had as a young kid. And Ronnie Law is a sax player, so I was like, you know, I'm going to try to play sax. And so we picked up, went to a pawn shop, got my first saxophone at a pawn shop, and used to listen to the records and try to copy them. And that was my first introduction to the saxophone right there. And then the rest is history.
That's cool, man. Yeah, it's a great story. So what were your first gigs like? You know, I mean, being a musician is one thing, but actually getting out there and having real gigs, how did this whole thing take off for you?
Oh, this is a real good story right here. This is a good story. So this is one of my first gigs that I remember that was real. It was instrumental, pun intended. It was really a big marker, like a milestone in my life. The reason this story is cool is because this is the story behind my name, Shadow, right? So let me tell you the story. So, after, you know, fast forward, I got my first saxophone. So now I'm in high school, and me and my best friend, we used to go to his dad's house, and we practiced playing. He played the trumpet, and I played the saxophone, right? So we used to practice along with this movie called Mo Better Blues by Spike Lee. And so, like, Denzel Washington's character was the trumpet player named Bleak. And then the other actor that was the saxophone in the movie was Wesley Snipes. And Wesley Snipes' character was called Shadow Henderson. And so me and my best friend, my best friend said, hey, I'm going to call myself Blicky. You're going to call yourself Shadow. We're going to be just like these guys in the movie. And so we used to practice that song. We used to practice all the songs in the movie. We used to have the movie in a TV in the garage and just used to play it and just practice with it. Fast forward. We got the attention of a Dallas Arts Center, African Arts Center. They were having a jazz performance. And they were looking for young kids that would play with the jazz band as part of some program. And they saw us. Somehow we got their attention. Somebody saw us. I don't know, at a music store. I can't remember. But we ended up playing that gig. It was a big deal. It was a African Arts Festival and a jazz performance all in one. And so the Dallas African Arts Museum has an auditorium in it. So it's a lot of people in there. And they had the old school, the risen stage. We were so nervous. We were so nervous. But that was our first gig. And I remember we played... like the Mo Better Blues song off the movie. The band actually learned the song. The adult musicians, they learned the song, and they were playing that one, and they were playing a jazz standard. I think they were playing I think it was like a Herbie Hancock standard. I can't remember which one it was, but I remember it was Herbie Hancock. And we had to practice with them and learn that song. And I remember I was on stage with the saxophone player, and I was like, I was tapping his shoulder, and I was like, do I do it now? Do I play now? And he was looking down at me like, no, like, you know, chill out, kid. It ain't time yet, you know, because all they were going to do is let us both take a solo, because they wanted to make sure that the melody of the song and the form of the song didn't get messed up, you know, because it was a big audience. It was an auditorium. And, you know, we two kids, we still in high school, we were nervous as hell. And so that was my first gig. And I remember that was such an encouragement. Because I mean, it's like, it was a big venue, right? And we're playing with professionals, but we're just kids. And so I remember that. That was the first gig we did. That was just really significant. So yeah, that's that story.
Right on. So, you know, there's so many pieces that go into being a professional musician. What's your favorite part of this? You know, waking up every day and doing what you do, what is it that you look forward to the most?
I look forward to that, the creation period, like the zone that you get in. That's really my happy place. Just whether it's in the studio actually creating whatever song we're creating, like right there in the studio when you first get the idea and when you first record the line, it's, and like hearing the tones and the chords. And also when you're like in the heat of the moment at a gig and you're right there, like you're playing the lines of the song and you may be in the middle of a couple of passages of a solo. That's like what they call the flow state. Just being right there in that moment in time is my favorite part. The practice, like, to be honest, I hate the practice. I remember wishing, I was like, man, can I just like automatically learn this stuff? But the practice is it's like eating breakfast or doing your push-ups and working out. You got to do that. But the actual moment in time of creation, it feels like time stops. It feels like when you're in that moment, especially when you hit that right note and you can feel the, like when you're really in sync and you got chemistry with a good band or in the studio with good producers and stuff, and you hit that note, or you hit that line, or you hit that verse, or whatever it is that just sets everybody off, and it's like, whoa, you know, and being able to continuously perform that in the creation process is heaven. That's the best part of doing this for me.
Let me ask you this. Who have been role models or mentors for you, or a hero that you've looked up to throughout your life?
I would say, oh man, jazz wise, I would say the first guy that comes to mind is John Coltrane. And I'll tell you why. John Coltrane, he had a similar life path as me. So, you know, if you look back at his story, he joined the Navy just so he could get access to the benefits, like the college benefits and stuff like that, so he could take care of his family and he could, you know, use that to take himself to the next level. I did a similar life path. I went to the Army band, and I remember reading, you know, John Coltrane biographies and Quincy Jones biographies. I remember reading Quincy Jones is another one. Same thing with Quincy Jones. He had a similar life path. the road to success was very rocky for Quincy Jones and John Coltrane. But what I learned from reading about their lives was, if you persevere through those rocky paths, you'll eventually get to the end of whatever hardships. And being a musician, we all know it's a ton of them. It's not really like being a doctor or a lawyer. You know, the path to success is quite interesting. And most don't have the stamina to make it through. So those two gentlemen, huge role models. Those are like one of the first two that come to mind. And you see their success. John Coltrane is a legend. Giant steps, the Coltrane changes. And with Quincy Jones, his success as a music producer is, you know, colossal. And he's still around. He's still around to this day. I know he's up in age, but it's a blessing that he's still around to glean off of. His success with Michael Jackson and all the TV series that he got his records on, and he still produces artists to this day. His wisdom. They went to Spotify, went to Quincy Jones and asked him for guidance and advisorship. You know, he's been in the game for a long time. So those two guys, huge role models and huge influences on how I do business as a musician, my sounds as a tenor player. Man, John Coltrane and Michael Brecker. Michael Brecker gets his sound from John Coltrane recordings. So, huge role models.
Yeah, man, there was no one like Coltrane. Have you seen that Quincy Jones documentary on Netflix?
I watched like a couple of bits of it, but I'm about to go back and like check it out. All the
you
way
have
through.
To. He's a titan, dude. I mean, that when I got done with that, like, I've known about Quincy throughout my life, all of the things, but even in the beginning, what he was doing with his big bands, like the sound he was putting out, and every time he gets into a specific niche, he just pushes it to a boundary that no one thought it would go to. But yeah, if you watch that, loving him the way you do, man, it will give you a whole new level of appreciation. Which kind of leads me into my next question. And I don't want to be assumptive with this, but if you could meet one person alive on the planet right now, who would it be?
One person. Doesn't matter what their occupation is or anything.
Yep. It's wide open.
First person that comes to mind. Pharrell Williams.
Everyone out there has a perception of you. Your family, your friends, your fans. But ultimately, you live your life. You're in control of who you are, and you have a perception. Who do you think you are?
That's a really good question. I think of myself as a king. I think of myself as a king building this kingdom. Now, my empire has a lot to do with music, but not only music. It's going to be not only music, it's really big on family, really big on building legacy. Generational wealth, and that's what a king would do. You know, honoring those from his past, his ancestors, but at the same time, dealing with and solving the problems of the present and thinking forward into the future, laying the path for the generations that come after him. So yeah, you can call me a king. That's how I see myself when I look in the mirror.
I like it, man. Let's say you have a dream tonight and you run into your younger version, say around, you know, the 20-year-old range, and you could give your younger version one piece of advice based on the wisdom that you've learned throughout all these years alive on the planet. What would you tell your younger version?
Believe in yourself. Stop second guessing yourself. And that first hunch that you had, go for it. Don't worry about what other people think about you. Don't worry about if people mistreat you, betray you, don't support you. You're on the right path. You got a good dream. Go for it. Go for it. Run for it. Don't walk. Run for it. Because if you keep going down the path you're going, you'll get there even faster.
I dig it, man. Shadow, thank you for opening up. Thank you for taking a minute out. You have a fascinating story, and I'm looking forward to putting it out there, man.
Hey, man, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure's all mine. Send my love to Dallas, man.
Oh, yeah. Can I give a shout-out real quick?
Please do.
I just want to shout out some of the people who have been helping me recently on these music projects that I'm currently working on. I want to give a shout-out to Wu-Tez. I want to give out a shout-out to NFT Monza and The Bonds. And I want to give a shout-out to Technical Art. Thank you guys for rocking with me. Special shout-out to the Shadow Riders Army, all my fans worldwide. We got this. We on to the next. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Shadow, stay cool, man. It was great to get to know you. Thanks again for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into another famous interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, and music around the globe. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.